Good evening. This is Heartstock Radio, and I am your host, Carol Murphy. Thank you so much for listening. And another beautiful day here in Montana. Another beautiful spring day, up to 59. And our guest today is speaking to us from the Bay Area. Her name is Dr. Ashi Bandawad. And she is the founder of STEM Chef. In just a moment, she will be with us and tell you all about that and what it is. Also, remember, you can find us on Facebook and email us at heartstockradio@gmail.com. We're always looking for guests who are using business as a force for good. In just a moment, Ashi will be back to tell you all about her startup, STEM Chef. Thanks for listening to Heartstock, and I'm your host, Carol Murphy. Our guest today is Ashi Bandawad, and hello, Ashi.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
You know, I may have misspoken a little earlier. STEM Chef, would you consider it a startup still? It seems like you're a little bit past the startup phase. Is that correct?
No, I'm still a startup, very much still in the startup mode.
Okay.
It's a bootstrap startup at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that means a lot. You have more than skin in the game, in other words.
It literally feels like my baby. This is my second baby. First one is my human baby, but this is literally like my baby.
So can you give our listeners a little introduction? What is STEM Chef and what do you do there?
Sure. So I founded STEM Chef a couple of years ago, and I like to call STEM Chef a philosophy rather than a company of teaching young kids science through cooking. And this started from a very personal place for me because of my own daughter. She's now 8. But the idea was inspired with what I was at the time, which was about 5 years ago, just doing mother-daughter, regular connecting and bonding stuff with her at home. Long story short, I saw in her that she was learning foundational concepts and scientific knowledge that she was accruing and applying by meddling in the kitchen with me during dinner time. And I saw that this was something too good to be missed. And I thought, without really thinking about it too much, I thought I should just start something around it that could be shared with other children and see whether it has a place for it in the world. And that's kind of how it got started.
So cooking in the kitchen, why do you think kids were, and in particular, your daughter, your first test subject, why do you think that blends so well with STEM and kids learning STEM?
Sure. So I wouldn't particularly say that was the sort of tool of my choice. It happened quite organically before STEM Chef started. So by profession, I'm a bioenergy scientist, and I used to work at UC Berkeley in that capacity. And my daughter used to go to daycare and preschool. So the only time I would really get to spend with her was in the evenings during dinner time. So it just so happened that, you know, that was the quality time that I would be spending with her. And little child as she is, even younger than, she was just curious and wanted to know about things, you know, the constant whys and hows. And somehow, somewhere, I guess the scientific element or the scientist in me came about trying to answer those questions in a very logical way. And instead of just spewing out words, you know, kids learn everything hands-on. And the things that were in my reach at the time were the food and the cooking and the recipes, right, what I was doing at the time. So it just so happened that I used these as props to explain things to her. And one thing led to another. And she was really enjoying it. I mean, this became like a entertainment factor for her as well as me. And before long, we were literally creating scientific experiments into recipes.
And you said a bioenergy scientist. What is that, and how did you get into that profession? And I'm sure there's an awful lot here that crosses over for you.
It sure is. So I have been always passionate about, you know, in as cheesy as it might sound, saving the world. So in a, from an environmental perspective, and all my educational decisions have been sort of geared with that aim in mind. So I used to work in the renewable energy sector, and I was working on bioenergy, which means trying to derive energy, fuel specifically, from sustainable biological elements, such as not corn, because that's like a huge hot topic issue, hot button issue, but the waste of the biological agricultural waste, for example, the corn stalks that you're going to throw away. So using that to make fuel for transportation, that was what I was working on before. And honestly, so I did my doctorate, and the elements of a doctoral thesis encompasses asking questions and researching those. And somehow, you know, when you kind of take those elements and supply them or transport them while communicating with children, it's a perfect combination where you're literally kind of inciting them to explore and be mini doctoral candidates themselves in everyday life.
And it really gives science a very practical angle that maybe some of us didn't experience, especially early on. Can you talk a little bit about where did you grow up? And you taught at Berkeley, but is that where you went to school also for your education?
No. So I actually grew up in India. And part of the reason I started STEM Chef was based on the experience that I had growing up as a child. So I grew up in a very rigid education system. And for those of you who are not familiar with the sort of Indian mentality, if you're in an educated family, you, at least back then when I was growing up, you pretty much had two choices to make your career a success. You either become a doctor or an engineer. At the time, I did not like biology or didn't do very well at biology, so I chose to be an engineer. But even going before that in school, everything was about grades. And I mean, it's not really much different anywhere else, but I didn't test very well. I struggled as a child to get good grades, and I was always sort of an average performer. That being said, way after in the future when I was actually doing my doctorate, it wasn't because anyone was forcing me to. It was something I passionately wanted to do because I was fueled by the end result, not the grades. And that was something that stayed very, very close to me. And when I had my daughter, that was the thesis that I was governing about having her grow up was exactly that, where I would want her to do something that she wanted to do, not because it was expected of her to do well in. So STEM Chef was sort of like a meeting point between a top-down approach or this mission-driven approach where I wanted education to be the love of learning, not the end goal of getting grades and being successful in life. In terms of, you know, the merits on paper, successful in life. Of course, successful in life, which drove driven by your passion, not driven by extenuating circumstances. And then this bottom-up approach, or rather experiment that was actually working, where I saw that she was so engaged and, you know, she was wanting to learn with passion. So it was a really organic meeting point of the two, which kind of made me think this is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And tell us just a little bit more about your mission at STEM Chef. What's the end point that you want? You know, if you had a magic wand and you could wave it, what is it that you'd like to create and achieve?
Oh, don't I wish I had that. So overarching mission is to make education fun and learning fun for children, specifically STEM education, because when you just look at the numbers, which is not something I'm driven by, but it's just plain proof in front of your eyes, about the diversity in the tech industry. Everyone can see it. And, you know, there's so many efforts going in towards getting diversity in terms of gender and racial diversity in these tech fields, in these STEM fields. And that is where jobs are going to be at. That's where jobs are at. And it's just going to exponentially increase in the future. So first of all, getting all children of any standing up to that proverbial table, getting them all on a right footing, that is one of the main goals. And the second goal is more holistic education. So education where children are learning things in a matter of speaking that makes absolute application to everyday life, not something that just seems good on paper or not something that you're expected to do, but the passion for learning coming from within, and that I would like to instill that in children from a very young age. And I believe that is actually possible because I've seen that happen, not only with my daughter, but with a bunch of kids that I do work with.
Mm-hmm. So how long have you been working with kids? Has it been the full 2 years, or has this been a gradual process where you've been able to launch and work with the kids directly?
So I have been working with kids, I would say, on and off over the past couple of years. The overarching philosophy of teaching science through cooking to kids has remained very much the same. But the product offering, I would say, has pivoted since I changed. It's currently manifested as an escape room, where it's a very hands-on learning, where kids come in and they solve puzzles and they actually get understanding of science concepts through the puzzles they solve. And then they end up using that to make a recipe to escape, if you will. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, and then I've run a bunch of camps and enrichment camps and summer camps. So there was lots of one-on-one interaction with kids. There were certain periods of time where I was shipping these to families, so I didn't quite have that one-on-one connection with the kids, but I did have interaction with the parents who used it. But on and off, yes, over 2 years, I guess, fair enough to say that I have worked with over, I can't exactly tell you the number, but the number will be in the thousands.
Mm-hmm. So we'd love to hear more about this, and we're going to take just a quick little music break, and we will be right back with Dr. Ashi, founder of STEM Chef. This is Heartstock. Thank you. Good evening. This is Heartstock. And today our guest is Dr. Ashi Bandhawan of STEM Chef. She's the founder, and we were just talking about the fact that she's in startup and she's gone through a couple different iterations of the business model. And hi again, Ashi.
Hi.
So you mentioned that you were sending via the mail STEM Chef to your participants and that that model has kind of changed. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? You know, what was your process of discovery and why is it that you kind of landed on your current model?
Sure, absolutely. First off, I have to come clean that I am not a business person. I'm not trained in business. So everything I have been doing since the beginning is just following my gut. The way I started off was with summer camps and enrichment camps for kids. And that was just the most logical way for me to start because that's how I came to realize that this sort of strategy of teaching science or cooking to kids vis-a-vis my daughter and her friends worked. So after that was really successful, a lot of people expressed interest in getting their children interested in science using the same sort of philosophy. And people who weren't in my immediate local neighborhood, so it wasn't quite possible for me to travel to New York, let's say, or Chicago, which is where people were expressing interest. So I thought, okay, why not box up these lessons into kits and ship it? And while that was extremely interesting and it gained a lot of interest from people, I very soon realized this is a totally different business. And I wasn't quite ready for that business model. You know, it takes into account logistics and shipping and packaging. And it was a ballgame that I was definitely not prepared for, to say the least. So I thought I was biting way more than I could chew. And instead of trying to work out something that I was definitely not an expert at, I thought I wanted to sort of dial back and put at least a plug on it for the time being then. For a while after that, since I still was in that sort of scaling mode outside of this geographical area that I'm at, I kind of, for a brief moment, tried to offer these classes online so that, you know, people, again, outside of California could access them. But, I mean, it wasn't the same thing because this whole process is so hands-on and the teaching is very much a tactile thing that it was very difficult to differentiate from YouTube. And that wasn't something I was really sold on either. So after a couple of these iterations, I was, you know, coming back to the point where I was going to go back into doing a local camp enrichment one-on-one. And after time, my daughter was getting, and a lot of kids actually were getting into this escape room phenomenon that has sort of taken US now by storm. Started off in Asia and Europe a decade ago, probably. But one thing remains constant, that none of these escape rooms are really built for children. They're extremely engaging, and children have a lot of fun if they're allowed in it, because many times the minimum age is 12 or 14. So it really discounts a lot of young children participating in those. So I wanted to combine these elements of this extremely engaging, interactive nature of the experience and apply that to STEM Chef. And that's kind of what I did about 6 months ago.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. And I would imagine it was a big hit with kids. Can you explain for our listeners who aren't, maybe don't have kids of their own or, you know, whatever, have never heard of the escape room phenomenon. What is that exactly? And how do you apply it to STEM Chef?
Sure. So an escape room is essentially a room in the most basal way to explain it is you're locked up in a room and they're full of puzzles and you need to solve them. And then you try to make you sort of solve your way out of the room. And that's how you escape from the room. Usually about an hour long experience. And it's just a very fun, engaging experience. And they're usually themed many times on very, very scary thematics, like a horror and things like that. It's definitely not conducive for kids. And the way I have incorporated the escape room in STEM Chef is by using the elements of puzzle solving, but the puzzles that they solve are either mathematically or scientifically oriented in such a way that the answer questions, which might be very simple ones, or things that they gather, the clues that they gather from things that they see around them, so they don't need any prior knowledge, but just the observation of things that are in sort of plain sight gives them the answer. So it's almost like you read a scientific a paragraph and then like a reading comprehension where you answer a question and then that solves a puzzle. And that leads you to a few more questions similar fashion. And what you end up with is like a bunch of clues that kind of make up a science concept. And then you use that sort of knowledge or the thematic to make a recipe.
Well, this really sounds like just teaching kids how to think like a scientist, which is pretty exciting. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your funding journey. I mean, this is always, this is an additional a bit of work, is just figuring how you're going to make it financially until you're making enough money that the company is supporting its own. So tell us a little bit about that part of your journey.
That is always a challenge for any company or any business. And I am completely bootstrapped. In fact, so much so that my husband keeps saying that I'm really such the opposite of a risk taker. I play it so safe. I mean, you know, when you have your own skin in the game, you want to play the odds with that they're good for winning. That being said, I haven't quite been opposed to taking outside funding. It's just that my business doesn't quite fit the model of a traditional sort of Silicon Valley startup, if you will. This is definitely more a small business nature that follows the path of brick and mortar stores. That being said, for the second phase of STEM Chef, I'm actually looking to work with schools because my end goal is using this strategy or this philosophy ubiquitously in the education system. So it's not so much about just, you know, being a big business or making lots of money. It's I really want to have an impact on a larger scale. So I'm looking to partner with schools where I could provide the curriculum and they can use these sort of modes, if you will, to implement within the science standards that they want to incorporate in their schools in a very integrated manner. But then again, everything is very bootstrapped.
Mm-hmm. So what other business models have you entertained? I know you did and shared a little bit about kind of a mail order model, and now you're doing direct one-on-one camps and such. Were there any others that you explored along your journey?
So I spoke very briefly about the online model that I had explored. I wanted to essentially create lesson plans that would be available online with the whole notion of, you know, following the instructions, setting up challenges. At the time, it was definitely not in the stream of an escape room, but it was just sort of online lessons. But that model didn't stand on its own two feet, if I can be honest. So that got shifted out and cut out completely very soon.
Yeah, that sounds more like traditional school. You'd have a lot more luck getting kids engaged in the escape room, I think. I'd like to come take part myself. Sounds like a lot of fun. So can you give us an example of like a real life puzzle that kids have found challenging to solve to escape from their room?
Sure. So I'll give you a quick synopsis of how I did the Halloween escape room, actually. The premise of the story started that the kids were trapped in an alchemist lab 1,000 years ago. And the only way they can escape or even go back to present, 2019, this is last year, was by making and drinking a very special potion. Mm-hmm. So I'll just give you like one quick brief puzzle because there were like a series of puzzles.
We do have like only about a minute. So if you could squeeze in also how folks might contact you, that would be awesome. A lot can happen in a minute.
Cool. So you can reach me at hello@stemchef.com or just visit my website at www.stemchef.com. But would you like me to tell you the ultimate
puzzle? What did they have to use for their potion? What was in the potion?
That was a very interesting tea I found. It was called a butterfly pea flower tea. And it was blue color tea when you steeped it in warm water or hot water. And then it would change with the pH. So if you would add an acidic element, such as lime juice or lemon juice, it would turn pink.
Oh, I'm sure they love that.
So it literally was, you know, like this magical potion that they drank. It was, they made like a lemonade, color-changing lemonade.
Thanks so much for being with us, Sashi. And thanks for your work at STEM Chef.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
And this is Heartstock Radio, and we shall see you next week. Peace.
And on the sign it said, no trespass.
Heartstock Radio is a production of KBMF 102.5, Butte America Radio. Hear our live programs every Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time via livestream at butteamericaradio.org.
That sign was